All right, everyone, welcome to the 2023 Virtual Region Convention and to our tools session, which today is Action Plan. We have two speakers today. We have Nancy J. and Carol T., and each speaker will be talking on the Recovery Tool Action Plan, the topic for up to 15 minutes each, and then the question and answer session will follow for 20 minutes. So our first speaker is Nancy. It's all yours, Nancy.
Thank you so much. I want to start out by saying that I'm 77 years old and been in OA twice. I was in OA when I was about 31 years old and had a wonderful experience with it. But then I went to law school and lost track of OA and went up and down the scales, 100 pounds up, 100 pounds down, 110 pounds up. 110 pounds down, all different kinds of programs I was in, exercise programs, liquid diet type programs, everything you can think of, up and down, while I practiced law. 33 years I practiced law, and my weight went all over the place. My husband likes to say, we've been married 54 years, and during those 54 years, he said he felt like he was married to 10 different wives because my body was so different, up and down and up and down. I'm so thrilled to be abstinent, so thrilled that this program has enabled me to lose the weight and keep it off. Keeping it off is the real miracle. I'm great at losing weight, but I don't stay there. I stay there for like 2 seconds, and then I put the weight back on. Now, today they asked me to speak about an action plan. And that's a wonderful topic. And you stop and think, well, what is an action plan? And how does this help me or could help you with getting this program and keeping this program? Keeping the program to me is the really miracle part of it. For me, anyway, I never could maintain. And let me start out by saying, in a way, our entire program is an action program. From the day you walk into an OA meeting or you get on Zoom and call in or log in, or that takes action. Doing nothing, that's what I was good at. I was good. I came home from work. I sat in front of the TV and I ate all night long. And that's how you get to be 272 pounds. But our entire program is an action program. I Googled action program, Overeaters Anonymous, and I found in one of the pamphlets, it gives a very short definition of action plan. It says, creating an action plan is the process of identifying and implementing attainable actions to support our individual abstinence and emotional, spiritual, and physical recovery. This tool, like our plan of eating, may vary widely among members and may need to be adjusted as we progress in our recovery. So that's basically what I'm going to be talking about. And, you know, I looked in the big book, and I'm somebody who absolutely relies on the big book for everything in life. The big book has an answer, I find. If I'm willing to look, it has an answer for everything. So it's remarkable, just remarkable. And I feel my admiration and love for the big book grows with every day that I'm in this program and progressing in the program. I rely on the big book more and more. So I looked in the big book for some references. And when I say big book, I mean the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And today I'm going to be referring to the fourth edition. And if you look on page 9, Bill's story, you have the wonderful story contained in Bill's story of how Ebbie Thatcher comes to Bill on a bleak November night in 1934. And he wants to share his program with Bill. And Bill is only interested in drinking, but Ebby goes ahead and shares the program. And Bill says at the bottom of page 9, but he, meaning Ebby, did no ranting. In a matter-of-fact way, he told how two men had appeared in court persuading the judge to suspend his commitment. And this would be Ebby's commitment to an insane asylum, which is what they often did back then for alcoholism. They had told of a simple religious idea. That's the Oxford group. This is, of course, prior to AA because AA hadn't started yet. This is just Ebby telling Bill about his program and a practical program of action. So there is one of the many, many times in the big book that the phrase program of action, action, some adjective before the word action, but it is mentioned again and again and again for the reason that our entire program is a program of action. The action of getting a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening is broken into 12 steps. That's the whole purpose of the 12 steps, to lead us to a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening where we can find recovery, find a relationship with a higher power, whatever that means to you. It's God as you understand him or her. Can be anything. But that's the whole purpose of our program, is to take these actions so that we find recovery. In my case, a miracle. Maintenance of a very big weight loss for the first time in my life. And then much deeper than that, eventually, gradually, a relationship with God. God as I understand God. A relationship with fellow members, the people I sponsor, my wonderful sponsor, all the wonderful fellows in this program. Now, I want to talk about what the practical program of action means to me. And I'm not going to talk about related programs of action, such as exercise programs, medical programs of action, educational programs of action, social programs of action, religious programs of action. There's so many other programs of action in our life. Self-care, family relationships, they all surround, in my mind, the program of action is laid out in the big book. And I'm going to start on page 84, because to me, that's the beginning of our program of action as the big book lays it out. And it tells us on page 85, right after the 10th step, which of course is one of our key programs of action contained within the 12 steps. But on page 85, it says in the middle, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. So there it uses the phrase program of action. And rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol, and I'll substitute, alcoholic foods are a subtle foe, or alcoholic or compulsive overeating behaviors or bulimic behaviors or whatever it is, anorexic behaviors, whatever your troubles that come from your eating actions or behaviors are. It's easy to end up in trouble again because it's a subtle foe. We're headed for trouble. So we cannot let up on the spiritual program of action. That's what this book is telling us. And in the middle of 85, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Serve means action. So let's look at page 86. It tells us what action to take when we retire at night. Right there, it tells us line by line what to do. This book really takes us by the hand. Then it tells us on page 86, further down the page, what actions to take when we wake up in the morning. Then at the bottom of 86 and throughout 87, it tells us what to do during the day. This is unbelievable. This is really detailed. We don't need anything else because this tells us everything we need to do to be through recovery, recovering, and finally recovered. We're never cured. The bottom of 87. We can ask for the right thought or action. That word again. Page 88. It tells us we are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in the simple way we've just outlined. We don't need to make up our own action plan for recovery. It's given right here in the book. And then the bottom of 88 says, this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. And chapter 7, the next chapter, tells us how we work with others, which is our ultimate sacred action, our sacred action of working with other people and giving this program away. I'm going to end with this thought on page 275 in a story called Keys of the Kingdom. In the middle of the page, AA, or I'm going to say OA, is not a plan for recovery that can be finished and done with. What that means is our actions never stop. The sacred mission never stops. It is a way of life, and the challenge contained in its principles is great enough to keep any human being striving for as long as he lives. We do not, cannot outgrow this plan. So how happy I am at 77 years of age that I have a lifetime of action ahead of me to fulfill my sacred mission, which is to share my program with others. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy. And now we'll hear from Carol. It's all yours, Carol.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm Carol, a compulsive overeater living in the solution. And I am healed. Now, don't jump out of your seats. When I say I am healed, I always have this illness, but I'm healed from negative thinking that I don't have to live the principles, don't have to use or live the traditions, don't have to use the tools, don't have to work the steps. What I now know, as long as I keep all of that in tune, I will be healed each and every day. That is my action plan. So I looked up action plan, and thank you, Nancy, for going a little further than what I did. So I'm just going to stop at the first two lines as it applies to me. Creating an action plan is the process of identifying and implementing attainable actions to support our individual abstinence, emotional, and spiritual recovery. I have to keep in mind that because the old Carol likes to do things her way all the time. And what I've learned, I call my story lessons learned, doesn't work that way. It's not Carol's program, and I define Carol's program doing what she wants, when she wants, and how she wants. What I do today is OA program, and I'm grateful for that. As I said, my story is lessons learned, so I'll just do briefly a little bit about my background. When I grew up, I did not have an eating problem. Because I like to play. I grew up in the 50s. I'm one of these long-timers like my friend Nancy. I'm 75 years old and still kicking and grateful for programs. So growing up, like the play, did not have an eating problem. Went all the way through college, didn't have an eating problem. Got into my 40s, and eating problem came on board. What I learned is it was in me all the time, but it was in recession. So what I do today that is different is, I have to tell this quick story though. When I was doing my undergrad work, I took a freshman course, swimming, last semester of my senior year. In the month of January, February, and March, and I lived in Pennsylvania. So I cut. But I needed that course. The instructor said, if you will dive into the pool, I'll give you a C. She didn't think I was going to do it because I couldn't swim. I hadn't been at the class. So I went up 28 feet. Dove into the pool, would love to say that it was remarkable. The dive was, but they had to get the pole because I couldn't swim. What that taught me was trust. I trust my higher power was not going to let me drown. And so I did it, and I graduated. Why I remember that story is, I did things Carol's way for a long period of time since that time, and I happened to go to a speaker's meeting. And in the speaker's meeting, the speaker referred to the Brown Book, Overeaters Anonymous, The Disease of the Body, Surrender. Surrender was never in me all my life. But my higher power spoke and said, Carol, you don't trust me. And the reason that I reverted back to the story was that was trust. But through my years in OA before then, I didn't have a trust of a higher power. Because I neglected to say, which I usually do at the beginning of my shares, is I joined OA in January 25th. 2006, and I was not struck abstinent until April 11th, 2011. I was still in the rooms. I was doing workshops, but I was doing it Carol's way. I was doing Carol's program, not OA program. And once I admitted that I was not doing program as it was set out, I developed an action plan. I was abstinent. I was real, real grateful because what I learned in the principles of honesty. I wasn't honest. I'm not going to steal your money, but I'm not going to tell you about Carol. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to lie about it. Just how I am or how I was. I would race down the highway at 90 miles an hour to get my drug of choice and run out at 2 a.m. at that time walking in a cane and would tell everyone everything is all right. It's not honest. The second was faith. I didn't believe that my higher power, who I do happen to call God, would restore me to sanity. In other words, I'm not going to call on you because I still want to be in charge. Step 3 was real hard for me. Then there was hope. My hope was, I hope you let me do what I want to do when I want to do it. That sounds crazy, but that's Carol. Then I had to discover courage. Because I had a lot of shame around things I had done before in my past, all part of my inventory. I'm not going to go through all the principles. I do work them. I do live by them. I try to do the best that I can. And I also, that keeps in front of me, is the humility. Carol, you're not all that. and you don't do it alone. But what's more important for my action plan, and I get a checklist, are the tools. The plan of eating, I write down, I send in. The sponsorship, my sponsor and I have been together about 8 years, 8.5 years. We don't see things eye to eye. We're as different as night and day, but we clicked and we're still together after all this time. Telephone. Now, sometimes I don't make outreach calls, but whenever a call comes in, if I am available, I will talk to you. I will not talk to you long unless that's how you want it and something is going on. And now the young kids be texting, so I pretty much text, but I still prefer the phone. Writing, I do write. Literature, I read the literature every day. I'm compulsive about a lot of things, and I'm compulsive about the literature. I probably have every pamphlet and book that OA has, except for this latest one on the workbook for traditions. And so that is all part of the action plan, the anonymity. That's very sacred to me. I have to respect you on how you want to either be presented or known. And I don't do, I call it sidebar. You call me and say such and such. I'm not the one to spread the message of your such and such to someone else. I am going to protect your anonymity even if you don't want to. And service. And those of you who know me, that I do a lot of service. Because I'm retired. I have the time. But my higher power has given me the willingness to want to do and serve others, because so much has been given to me. So I'm right at that particular point where I only have 5 minutes. So I am going to read from, for today, February 23rd. Why I happen to like that, because it's my checklist. Every time I'm thinking, or I stick my shoulders out and think that, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, my higher power lets me know, Carol, I got this, I got you, and here's your assignment. So February 23rd from for today. Nothing is to be had for nothing. Why is it so much harder for me? I go to meetings, but I still don't have what attracted me in the first place. Let me look honestly at what I'm doing and failing to do. Do I have a sponsor? One who has what I want? Do I really listen at meetings and try to contribute? Am I working the program beyond step 3? Am I trying to practice the principles of the program at home and at work as well as in OA? Do I have a personal concept of a higher power that works for me? Am I still trying to diet? Example, manipulate and control my food and my weight. Do I follow suggestions as weight only once a month? Have I ever called a newcomer or another OA member? Do I give some form of service? Do I ever express gratitude for having come this far? For today, I can begin now to follow those directions that seem to work for others and that I have been resisting. And with that, I will close.
Thank you so much, Carol. Thank you to both of our speakers, Nancy J. and Carol T. Okay, so we will now open the floor for a question and answer session. I'll get us started with a question. Could you both share, like, you talked about action, and for me, like, I like to use that right away in a morning routine. Can you share with us what your personal morning routine maybe would look like in that realm of action plan?
My morning routine is I wake up, grateful that I did wake up, and I do a meditation. I call it my time to be with God. And I'm not super religious. After that, then I will, and that includes reading For Today or Voices. Then I will do my regular. I'm retired. See what today has run. Go through my emails and phone and make calls if necessary and make calls when not. Go to meetings. I do service. And the way it's been going lately, that's almost every day. And I had to put back in going to water aerobics and then seeing what goes on with my day. But that's about it. That's a daily plan.
Thank you, Carol. Nancy, did you want to answer that?
Oh, sure. Well, one thing that's special for me is when I wake up in the morning, and my first thought when I wake up in the morning is always another day living in this program, another day being abstinent. All these thoughts flood through my mind, and I weigh myself. I'm one of those people that weighs myself every single morning. And I know some people in OA feel that that triggers them. Some people have told me they've thrown away their scales or they lock them in the trunk of their car. I happen to weigh myself every morning without fail, and I write it down on a notebook. And then I make my bed. And the whole time all this is happening, I'm thinking, thank you, God. Thank you, God. It just fills me with amazement that I'm living this life. And I wake up kind of with these thoughts. So it's not like a formal prayer. It's just an awareness, a tremendous awareness that I'm no longer alone. And of course, I've been living with my husband and my children all these years, but alone meaning inside me, I'm no longer alone. And when I make my bed in particular, which to me is a real sign of recovery, I straighten all the sheets out. It's a great big bed with a big comforter and pillows and a bedspread. I'm making it, smoothing it out, and I'm thinking, God, thank you that I'm functioning enough to be making my bed. So to me, making my bed is a big symbol. Then I think about what I'm going to have in terms of abstinent food, and my day goes forward from there. I don't do anything formal. But I basically follow as a rough outline what's on pages 84 to 88 every day. And so that's the way my day begins. And thank God I've got that structure in my life. And with that, I pass.
Great. Thank you both. Somebody asked about your respective thoughts on to-do lists. Would either of you like to answer that?
I think there's nothing in the big book that talks about a to-do list, and that's how much I rely on the big book. My first thought is always, well, is it in the big book? There's nothing in the big book about a to-do list unless you want to consider doing your inventory, your fourth step, which is a list, or making amends, that's a list. But there's nothing there about it. But it does say in the big book, God gave us brains to use. I love that line. And big part of recovery is you're starting to function and do a lot of things that help you. And if a to-do list helps you, by all means, do it. And if it doesn't help you, then God gave you brains to use. Don't keep doing things that don't help you. Because we're happy, joyous, and free as a result of recovery. And we have to think of what are we doing, and is it furthering our progress spiritually? Is it helping us? And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Carol, did you want to add to that for to-do list?
Yeah, I'm a little different than Nancy. I have to have a to-do list that's like a checklist that keeps me straight. I don't, it's not written down anymore, it's ingrained in me. And what it is, I wake up in the morning, I do my meditation, then I plan my day. My food is already planned, I send it in to my sponsor, I talk to my sponsor even when I don't want to.
Yeah.
It's 6:30 in the morning and I'm retired. And after I do that, I would think the day would be mine, but I already know. I've got meetings, and it's the meetings that I go to, embracing the fellowship. I'll start on a meeting. I don't plan on coming back. I'm only here to support. Finally, I'll do service and things, and it becomes part of me. So I pretty much know by the day when I'm going to meetings, what I am going to be eating, and I don't be thinking about it like that. The service that I need to do, all that is on a daily to-do list for me, and as long as it's ingrained, I'm straight. The minute I deviate, I'm skidding. I pass with that.
Okay, so we have another couple questions that could be combined, I think. Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all of the actions on your action plan? And if so, what would you do about that? And also, what has been your biggest hurdle in your journey and how did you overcome that?
Overwhelmed? I do a lot of service. And a lot of things I really don't know how to do. And in trying to do it, especially the technique, I'm not a techie at all, but I'll try. And the more service that I do, it's like with this convention. Some days I got up and I said, oh, this is crazy. It's wild. I'm overwhelmed. But I was fortunate because I have a lot of good people around me. And they will come to my aid, explain, do, not even judgment, and it becomes all right. And so that soothes me in whenever I'm getting all nervous. I have to also be mindful that I have OA friends that will send me literature, a morning greeting, that lets me know they have my back, they understand me. I'm a people's person.
Okay, well, you know, talking about being overwhelmed or just through everyday life, of course we get overwhelmed. And the big book anticipates that. At the bottom of page 87, it tells us exactly what to do. And like I said in my talk, this is a remarkable book that the more you study it, the more you see it covers everything. So the bottom of 87 says, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. Should I volunteer to be a service representative for my group or not? Should I get on a plane and fly to the OA birthday party in California or not? Should I invite people for dinner in my home or not? You know, all the million of little questions we have. The big book tells us don't worry about it. Bottom of page 87. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. So that's a universal answer for almost any problem we have. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you both. Carol, this question's for you. Speaking of no longer running the show, this question says, Carol, your comment about hope was you hoped people would let you do things your way. Hilarious, they said. But how or when did you feel like you quit trying to do things your way and actually started trusting higher power to guide you?
Well, part of my story, I never knew of OA, and I had an intervention team, and they are from various 12-step fellowships. They were going to help Carol. And so one person who was a therapist, Bonafide, said, I'm going to help you. But he didn't have a clue. Another friend said, no, you need to go to OA, and she's not in program. So my hope changed from coming into program or after I heard the message from the Overeaters Anonymous that there was going to be a solution. And so I was real grateful for that. And each day I have more hope because life changes on a dime and you don't. If you stay, do things the same way, the same old way, that's not recovery. Recovery for me is getting up, knowing it's a new day and what's going to happen today. So I have a lot of hope. And I pass.
Wonderful. What would, for both of you, what would be your number one suggestion for a newcomer?
I will say find a meeting with strong recovery. If it's not in your area face-to-face, explore all the wonderful Zoom meetings. I go to a Zoom meeting every single night. And on the weekends, I go on Saturday during the day and Saturday night as well, if I can. So find a strong meeting. By that meaning, people who are excited about being in OA and live the life and just seem to be people who have been so thrilled to have recovery. And find that meeting and become a part of it. I've heard the term, jump in the middle of the herd. Don't just linger on the outskirts, not showing your face with a black box with your name and never speaking. Don't isolate yourself and hide. That's what we did when we were in the food. Now it's a safe place. So trust it and jump in. And so that's my suggestion. If I have one suggestion, of course I have many, many suggestions. That can't be your whole program, but it's a great beginning, is find a wonderful meeting and become part of it.
Thank you. Carol, your number one suggestion for a newcomer?
Yeah, I agree. Go to meetings, whether they Zoom or hybrid, take down numbers, and be willing to receive outreach calls. Don't have any expectation whatsoever. And put yourself first this time. Stay in the rooms. Grab a hold to anyone that you can grab a hold to if you believe that they are working program. But stay in the rooms, go to meetings, and it'll be all right.
Thank you. We are so blessed to have all these virtual meetings, but somebody did ask, have either of you gone back to face-to-face meetings?
I can say for myself, basically no, because I found such wonderful meetings during COVID and the pandemic. I went from, of course, only face-to-face meetings. Then I just found these fantastic meetings and I couldn't go to enough. I was so overjoyed. And I would like to go back to some of my face-to-face meetings. Many of them are gone, but some still exist. And I would love to go back. And it's kind of in the back of my mind to do that because it would be a wonderful thing. I miss a lot of those people. So with that, I pass.
Carol?
The truthful answer is no, but let me clarify. I used to do a lot of service. I'm here in Memphis, but I go to meetings all over. And we just started going back to face-to-face about 7 months ago. But I'm a senior. And COVID is out there. I'm still working on losing weight. COVID is up in this area. I don't have a trust. So I don't do face-to-face because, see, I'm a hugger. That's one reason why I didn't want to go to World Service. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to see people I hadn't seen. I'm going to hug and smile. And the next thing you know, I know my plan, God, I'm going to be sick as a dog with COVID. So, no, I don't have that warm and fuzzy yet. But that's not to keep you from going to a meeting face-to-face or Zoom. I prefer face-to-face if I didn't have a fear.
I have to sneak in and say I agree with Carol that with COVID, it was just wonderful to feel safe in your own home with Zoom. And I did creep out just in the last few months to an OA weekend, a big book study in California. I flew out from Illinois to California for that weekend. And I flew to New York a few weeks later to White Plains, New York for another big book weekend. And I went to the OA birthday party in California. So I did sneak out for those things, but I held my breath when I was on the plane. I thought, gee, am I being stupid? Because you do take a risk. And so far, it hasn't come back to bite me. I haven't had COVID yet. But I agree with Carol. It's a little worrying when you're in your 70s. Of course, Carol's young to me. She's only 75, and I'm 77. And so she's like my little sister, but you do have to look at that as a practical reality that a lot of people jam together in a room and on an airplane. And how much of that do you think you should do? It's guesswork, really.
So let's combine a couple more. I know, Carol, you mentioned the checklist. Somebody asked specifically, Nancy, if you have a written action plan, but let me tag on to that. Somebody asked also, do you both have a formal step 10? Do you do a formal step 10 and or do you do a step 10 train? And with that, maybe you might want to explain what a 10th step train is, too.
I actually am a member of one of these trains. In my case, you signed up, you got an app called GroupMe on your iPhone. You go to the iPhone store and get an app called GroupMe. You download the app, it's free, and then you let somebody know who's an administrator of the group that, you know, online you tell them you'd like to be in the group and they let you in. So it's all OA people. And there's quite a few of these around. And what's nice about it is you then can post on there, I would like to do a step 10. Is anybody available? This is Nancy J in Geneva, Illinois, and give my phone number. And somebody who I've never heard of before usually will get back to me on the GroupMe message board and say, oh, yes, I can take your step 10. And then they call you. So what's nice about that is you have immediate access to usually hundreds of people. And instead of having to call around to your own God squad, your own bunch of friends in OA, finding people to take your 10th step, you've got an available pool of people right there. So on a practical level, it's very nice. And the few times I've done it, I liked it very much. But sometimes you just feel like giving your 10th step to somebody who knows you well. And so it's a choice, and I do both. Very rarely I will use my 10th step, and mostly because it's so much easier usually to just call somebody I know if I know they're available. But other times it is very handy to call someone on these trains. And so it's a choice. Now, the rest of that question was, do I write it out formally? Isn't that? I don't. I follow page 84 for my 10th step. Page 84 says nothing about writing it down. Page 84 says nothing about extra prayers or checklists or anything. It's very simple and quick. So I do the page 84, just pick up the phone or talk face to face if you can with somebody, go through your resentment, your fear, your selfishness, your dishonesty in very few words, like 15 words for each, not a big long story. Ask God to remove your defect. Did you harm anyone? If you did, you make an amend. And then it says, you turn your thoughts to someone you can help. So it shouldn't be like a very big protracted procedure, because you realize if you did several 10 steps a day, which is really what the book implies. So I keep it very simple. With that, I pass.
And Carol, how about with you with the 10th step?
Yeah, I'll be real quick. See, I'm a fiery person. I done mellowed out a long time since I've gotten older, but basically the fire is still in me. And so one thing I thought that, you know, I live by myself. I really don't have to do a 10th step. How wrong was I? So I am doing various 10 steps daily. It's like a personal inventory. I get a feeling, oh no, I shouldn't have done that. So I will review that and admit when I am wrong and say I'm sorry to the person who may not realize it. I have those that I will call out when it gets real crazy to do 10 steps. But I find it has to be ingrained in me to know, Carol, you shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have thought that. You need to take a look at it. That's my 10th step through the whole day. And I pass.
Okay, we have time for one more question, so let's do this one. How long did it take you to get to your weight or size that is the maintenance size for you?
About 15 months.
And Carol?
Well, I would love to say, because I'm not where I want to be, so I continue on program. But to go from that size to losing, it was about 100 pounds. It took me 3 years. Because remember, Carol wants to do stuff her way, how she wants it, and until I turned it over. So I can't put a time on it. We're not a diet and calorie club.
Right. So we have a couple minutes left. Would you both like to just give us, you know, 1 minute, 2 minute wrap up? And thank you so much for your service.
I want to say I had a lot of fear out of doing this today. A lot of fear. I had to ask God for help because I panicked. I thought, I'm not sure I know how to get into this virtual convention, and they didn't give you the login information for Zoom till very late. And so I had to go on faith that I would eventually get in somehow or eventually understand what to do. And it got very anxious, and I thought, Nancy, this is ridiculous. You're supposed to be in a program filled with faith and service, and you're worried. And if it doesn't work out, what's the worst that could happen? You're not going to be fired. Just somebody will have to take your spot. So I had a lot of worry, and I'm so glad that it worked out. And it was such a pleasure to be here and be here with Carol. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy and Carol.
Well, for me, I also had to step out on faith because it's been quite a week of working on the convention. And I hadn't thought about doing this today till probably this morning. We had storms here in the Memphis area. Power went out, came back on. And I said, there you go again, Carol. You're not going to be able to do it. So I prayed to my higher power, I need you, help me, please. And power came back on. I procrastinated. I got two computers that I need to have reprogrammed, never taken out of the box. I'm using an old one. I'm going to change that after convention. So I'm thinking I'm not going to be able to do this. Then I did. And I said, well, that's why you rely on your higher power and know you don't control. So for me, it's getting into step 3 that will lead me back to step 2 and 11. And I pass.
Thank you. Thank you both for trusting the process and that everything worked out and everyone was here today. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everybody attending our webinar today.